Welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldman, a 30-minute walk through the Scriptures, teaching in-depth Bible truths that change people's lives. Now, here's your host, Les Feldman.
Okay, good to see everybody back, and for Program 3 this afternoon, we'll just go right back to where we left off in Daniel. For those of you joining us on television, we're just a verse-by-verse Bible study, and again, I don't expect everybody to agree with me on every point, but learn to search the Scriptures. That's the name of the game, and I think you'll find that most of the time you'll end up agreeing with me anyway. All right, now let's just pick up where we left off in our last half hour, and that was after the end of verse 39 in Daniel chapter 2, where Daniel is going through the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The head of gold, the chest of silver, the belly of brass, the legs of iron, and then the feet, a combination of iron mixed with clay. And we made the emphasis, the specific gravity of gold is the greatest, and the specific gravity of the clay is the least, and so it's a deterioration. Now, we're going to look at the fourth one first, and then we're going to go and look at some things on the board. All right, verse 40. After these first three empires have come and gone, the fourth empire that will usurp the other three, geographically, as well as politically and economically, is the fourth kingdom of verse 40, the fourth kingdom of verse 40 shall be as strong as iron. Now, of course, this is the Roman Empire, the most ferocious military machine that had ever existed up to that time. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, it shall break in pieces and bruise, and which it did. The boot of the Roman soldiers were fearsome. All right, now verse 41. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part potter's clay, part iron, in other words, an amalgamation that does not really hold, and the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it, that is, this coming kingdom, there shall be in it the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay. Now, the word miry means something like muddy. When you take clay and add water to it, you just got a muddy mixture. All right, now then, verse 42. Now, as the toes of the feet were part iron, part clay, now remember, this is at the bottom of the statue, so the kingdom, this final revived Roman Empire that we see in Western Europe, I feel, today, with all of its ethnic differences and all of its political differences, yet they're in a united States of Europe, supposedly. All right, this is the iron mixed with clay that Scripture is predicting. And they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. In other words, they all have their ethnic differences. And even within any of the European nations, you have so many ethnic groups. All right, and so they'll mix themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another. In other words, they will not be a solid democracy like we've seen in the United States. They're always going to have these differences of opinion. See, they still haven't agreed on a constitution. All right, but they shall cleave, now they shall cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. All right, now then, since we know that this is the closing revived Roman Empire, this whole consortium of empires coming down from 606 B.C. under Nebuchadnezzar down through the ancient Roman Empire, which disappeared and now has reappeared since World War II in what we call the European Union. All right, then, as all of these come together, as we see it today, globalism on every hand, and that's why I feel this whole financial debacle is just another step God designed to bring in world economies and world government and a world church. It's all coming together so fast. All right, now then, verse 44. And in the days of these kings, that final revived Roman Empire, which is now 28 or 30 nations, but it is always going to go back to the original 10, is the way I look at it. That club of Rome, that European community as it first began. And I remind people, back up during the 70s, the media never called them anything but the Ten. The Ten. And that was the original Ten European nations. Now, I still feel that those are the ten toes of this image, even though there have been a lot of them added. All right. Then, while that is holding forth, and out of that empire will come the Antichrist, of course, and the final 7 years of tribulation, that will trigger then the second coming, as we see in verse 44, and in the days of these kings, this consortium, I think, of the European Union, and the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Now, that's the kingdom that Jesus presented in his earthly ministry, the kingdom of heaven on earth, where he will rule and reign from Jerusalem. All right, so the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms as the stone, as we saw earlier in the afternoon, cut out without hands, will strike this image on the feet. All right, now someone in our audience this afternoon had a beautiful picture of this. If I could draw it the way I would draw it, so I'm going to see if the boys can get this on the screen so that you'll get a good image of what I'm talking about, this image of a likeness of a Roman soldier, and they've got it on there now. Okay, now if they can draw it up, hopefully you'll be able to see the head of gold, the shoulders and the chest of brass, silver, the belly of brass, the two legs of iron, leading on down to the feet and the ten toes of the iron and the clay. Now, I just use that just to give you a mental picture of this great likeness that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. Now, I'm going to go to the board, and without benefit of having to do any drawing, I'm just going to do it verbally. Up here we have the head of gold, which was, of course, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Then we went down to the chest of silver. So bear with me, because I want this all implanted in your thinking. And you will remember better what you see than what you hear. And this would be the Medes and the Persians. They consorted together, two kingdoms. Then we come down to Alexander the Great and the kingdom of Greece. But Greece, of course, headed up by Alexander, who died when he was 33. That's the brass part of the statue. And when he died at 33, the kingdom was divided between four generals. They each had a territory designated to them. And it just so happened that the one general, Antiochus the Great, had Syria as his domain, and he also was in control of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. And so that's why we kind of associate the coming Antichrist as being somehow connected to Syria. All right, then the fourth kingdom, of course, which was the Roman, and that's the two legs of iron. And it was a democracy, or I prefer to call it a republic. Yeah, B-L-I-C. All right, then we come on down to the revived Roman Empire, which is several hundred years after this one died. See, I think the Roman Empire disappeared about, I'm going to estimate 350 A.D. And so from 350 A.D. until we come after World War II, 1945, then we have the beginning of a revived Roman Empire. And, of course, it is the democracy that they're trying to establish even today. And this is a combination, then, that does not really hold together iron and clay. It's a weak admixture. And it is now down to what I will call a democracy. Now, I haven't got the time to explain the difference between a republic and a democracy. There is a difference. All right, now the main thing we like to point out when we teach this on the board, that as you come down through these various metals, even though gold is by far the most expensive, basically for common use, it's the least. In other words, you wouldn't build a plow or garden tools, even if it was dirt cheap. You wouldn't make it a gold because it's too soft. It has no strength. All right, so then you come down to the next one. It's a little better than the gold, but still not the best. You come on down. Brass is certainly better than either one of these. Iron is better than brass. And then you come down to that which is still the strength of iron, but doesn't have it. All right, now, this is the political side of the coin. This is the political side. You start out with an absolute dictator. Nobody had any room to argue with him over anything. He was absolute in his political power. But militarily, he's still over here, the least of any of them, because even the Medes and Persians were able to defeat him. So what you've got here, that as you come down through the political concept, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker, because from one dictator, you go to two. Then after the Medes and Persians have run, they're defeated by Alexander the Great, ends up with four. And then you come down to the Roman Empire, which is now the first concept of a republic. They had a Senate. Even the Caesars could not declare war or do anything without the okay of the Senate. Then you come down to the present day, where we've got democracy, and each one of these governments get precipitously weaker. See that? All right. But on the other hand, when we come to the military power, my, now look what a difference. Why, Babylon wouldn't last 5 minutes under American military power today. And we saw that. Both times they invaded Iraq. It's just stupendous, the military power we have. I remember reading when they first invaded Iraq, they would try to hide their tanks, maybe in a back alley someplace. Hey, we found them. Destroyed the tank without destroying anything else. So you see, when you compare the military power of our militaries today compared with poor old Nebuchadnezzar, he wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes. Well, the same thing happened when the Medes and Persians. They were weaker politically. It probably took them a month or two to decide when to invade. But when they invaded, they were able to defeat Nebuchadnezzar. Now, the Medes and Persians held force for about 150 years. But along comes Alexander the Great, and he whipped them hands down. He was known for his speed of conquest. But he died at 33. And so his empire was divided to four generals. Well, those four generals couldn't hold the empire together. So what happened? The Romans come along. And the Romans usurped the Grecian empire, but they incorporated so much of the intellectual end part of Greece, their architecture and their classical literature and so forth. And so the Greek and the Roman empire sort of enhanced each other. But then here comes the Romans. Compared to, again, Babylon, they were fearsome. The whole world quaked at the thought of the Roman legions. All right, they disappeared from view, and we have the onset then of the Mohammedans and the appearance of Islam and so forth. Then we come to World War II, and out of the World War II, we come to the revived Roman Empire when the survivors of Europe came together with their Club of Rome, and began then what has now become the European Union. So this is the whole concept of history, that as these little empires, all Gentile, all of them overran and controlled Jerusalem. Now, turn with me to Luke 21, if I'm not mistaken. Luke 21. Now let's just start at verse 20. Here again, this is during the time of Christ, so it's in red if you've got a red edition Bible. And Jesus is speaking prophetically. And he's looking forward only 40 years. Because he was crucified at 29, 30 A.D., and in 70 A.D., these events took place when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. All right, now look in the words of the Lord Jesus. Verse 20. He says, when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is not, that is, of the city of Jerusalem. Then, when Jerusalem comes under attack, then let them who are in Judea flee to the mountains, let them who are in the midst of it depart out, let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. In other words, if you're living out in Egypt, for goodness sake, don't go to Israel. It's not the best place to be. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. Now verse 22, for these be days of vengeance. Now remember, God is a God of love and a God of mercy, but at times he becomes the God of vengeance, especially pertaining to Israel. All through the Babylonian captivity. Why did little Daniel and his three friends end up in Babylon? Well, God was judging the nation for two purposes. Number one, they did not keep the seventh year sabbatical for the land. They were to let the land lay fallow, remember, every 7 years. Well, over a period of 490 years, they never did. So what did God do? He emptied the land and it laid rest for 70 years to pick up those 70 sabbaticals. But the other reason was that the Jews had almost completely fallen into idolatry. All you got to do is go back and read the prophets. My, they were just constantly warning Israel to turn away from all their pagan worship or he would send in people of another language. That's the way the prophet put it. You'll have foreign languages in your midst. What did it mean? They'd be overrun by foreigners. But Israel didn't. My, they had idols, and as we're going to see in our next program, it was an abomination what they worshipped. I won't even dare put it graphically on the program. I can't. But it was so immoral that there was no remedy. So what does God do? He let Nebuchadnezzar come in with his armies, and they destroyed the city and took the Jews captive, but only for 70 years. And then they were permitted to come back. All right, now then, Jesus is rehearsing all this, see? For these be days of vengeance, this coming Roman invasion. The Babylonian is 600 years back. This is another one. Now, of course, at the time of Christ's earthly ministry, what was Israel's biggest act of rebellion and unbelief? Well, the crucifixion. And that just proved that they could not believe a thing the God of Abraham said. And so he comes in with vengeance. All right, now he's predicting it, but it doesn't happen until 40 years later. All right, now verse 23. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that are nursing in those days, that is, when this big Roman invasion comes, and we know from history it did, the Roman general Titus, for there shall be great distress in the land, that is, the land of Israel, and wrath upon this people, God's wrath, because of their unbelief. And there was just seemingly no remedy for it. 3 years of wonders and signs and miracles, did it affect them? No, just a precious few. The rank and file of Israel scorned everything that he said and did. And what was their final decree? We'll not have this man to rule over us, a carpenter's son. And so they crucified him. All right, but now you see, God is still in his heaven. He was raised from the dead. He went back to glory. 30 years later, his prophecies come true. All right, now read on. Verse 24, they shall fall by the edge of the sword. And they did. They died by the thousands under the Romans. And they shall be led away captive into all the nations. Now that was the beginning then of the dispersion of the Jewish people from 70 A.D. up until our own present time. And then beginning about 1900, some of them started going back to their homeland, which brought about the present day Israel, as we know it in the news every day. All right, but now watch this prophecy. They shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem, which maintains its city entity all up through the centuries, Jerusalem has never failed to exist, but Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar, followed by the Medes, followed by the Greeks, followed by the Romans, followed by the Mohammedans, followed by the Moors, and then followed by the British. And now in 1948, they became an independent state, but they're still under the heavy hand of America and Western Union. They are not a free nation to really do as they want to do. All right, so Jerusalem, from the words of the Lord himself, would be trodden down of the Gentiles. See? And it's going to remain until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now, fulfilled means it's going to come to that point in time when God is going to re-enter the affairs of planet Earth at his second coming. And so I always like to compare that. I think I've got time. 6 minutes? Yeah. Now just jump ahead with me to Romans, because I always like to tie these two together, because I think it's such a perfect fit. Romans chapter 11. And remember the terminology. The times of the Gentiles is that period of human history beginning with Nebuchadnezzar, that Jerusalem and the land of Israel is under the heel of the Gentile governments or their military boots. All right, now in Romans chapter 11, our apostle, the apostle Paul, the apostle of Gentiles, gives us another group that's designated. All right, and that's in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, where he says, "For I would not that you be ignorant." And the opposite of that is, oh, Paul says, how I wish that you could be aware of these things. But see, most of Christendom is still ignorant. They don't want to listen. They don't want to hear it. And it's getting worse by the day. But the book is true. It's going to happen. All right? "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery or secret, something that has never been revealed in Scripture until we get to Paul. And what's this mystery? That you should be wise in your own conceit." Now here is the mystery that was kept secret until Paul revealed it. That blindness, spiritual blindness, that the people of Israel cannot see the truth of God's Word. And it's so evident today. All you got to do is read some of their theologians. It makes you gasp. How can they dream this stuff up? And they never seemingly can come to the truth of their Old Testament. It's just amazing. But you see, that's all been decreed. And blindness, in part, has happened to Israel. They cannot comprehend the things of God. But there's another time word, and what is it? Until. Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now you got two terms concerning Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles, when their political and military systems will walk and control the streets of Israel. Paul comes up with another group of Gentiles, the fullness of. And what is that? The body of Christ. The body of Christ. Appalling revelation. You will not find anywhere else in your Bible, and that's why most of theologians today are all mixed up. They will not recognize Paul's distinctive apostleship. But it is, because he was designated to go to the Gentile world. Now let's see if I can find it back in the book of Acts. Come back with me, honey, to, I think it's chapter 15. Yeah, this one I can find. Acts chapter 15. And this is after that council in Jerusalem where Paul finally convinces the 12 that his apostleship is divinely appointed. He is here by God's design to take salvation to the Gentile world. And Peter, James, and John just couldn't see it. They thought that his Gentile converts had to become adherents to Judaism. So they have this council in Jerusalem, and they hammer it all out. And finally, Paul and Barnabas come to the crux of the matter, and they win the argument. All right, now then we come down to verse 12, Acts chapter 15, up there at Jerusalem. And all the multitude kept silence, and they gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, who were declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Contrary to everything in the Old Testament. All right, now then the next verse. After they had held their peace, James, who was by now the leader of the Jerusalem church, not Peter, James. And James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken, or listen to me. Peter has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. Unheard of! In the Jewish language, they had nothing to do with the Gentiles. And I'll show you in our next taping session why. In fact, it came up in one of my classes here in Oklahoma just the other night. Why did the Jews refer to Gentiles of their day as dogs? I won't tell you this time. I'll let you think about it. Why were they called dogs? And they were, you know. All right, I'll leave that to the next taping. All right, so they at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them, Gentiles, a people for his name. Now then, prophetically, time-wise, we got to keep going. And to this, James says, agree the prophets, the Old Testament. And he goes back to the book of Amos. After this, after the calling out of this body of Christ Gentiles, after this, I will what? Return. And that's Christ's second coming. And that will end the times of the Gentiles ruling Israel. And Christ will set up his own kingdom, and he will rule and reign from Jerusalem. It'll be heaven on earth. No more sin, no more curse, no more death, no more sickness, no more sorrow. It's going to be heaven on earth under the rulership of the King of Kings. All right, but that cannot happen until the body of Christ is completed first. And that's what Romans 11 is talking about.
Thank you for watching Through the Bible with Les Feldick. Through the Bible is a partner-supported ministry. If this program has been a help to your study of the Scriptures and you'd like to see others enjoy the teaching, your support would be greatly appreciated. Write to us at Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or call 1-800-369-7856. Remember, all programs are available in printed form, audio cassette, and videotape. Be sure to tune in next time to Through the Bible with Les Feldick.